Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 is where we turn to in our Bibles this evening, continuing our series on the book of Ephesians. We read the first 17 verses. The first 17 verses, the text is the verses 15 through 17. This is God's inspired word. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Then the text. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's why we read from God's inspired word. May he bless the reading of his word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, how are you using your time? Are you using it well? In the busyness of our lives, where there are so many, many events and activities crowding out our schedules, from our children's homework to school events to our work and business commitments and events and the activities and commitments at church, as well as the needs of the home that never seem to end. How are you and how am I doing when it comes to the use of our time? Are we using it well? The Word of God has very much to say on this subject of time usage and our calling as Christians to use our time well. Many places and many ways in which that point is made in the Scriptures, one of which we had considered and sang moments ago from Psalter 105, Psalm 39, stanzas 4 and 5 in particular. My end, Lord, make me know my days, how soon they fail, and to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail. To thy eternal thought, my days are but a span. To thee, my years appear as naught, a breath at best is man. And so, very fittingly, the title of that Psalter number was The Brevity of Human Life. Another psalm that carries the same subject and thought, and in that same thought and spirit then, we are called by the psalmist in Psalm 90, verse 12, to ask of God to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And now here in the Word of God that we consider in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, in the context of a general walking worthy of our calling as Christians, as the way, the main way of keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, we are called to redeem the time. But just what exactly does that mean for us to redeem the time? And then second, how are we called to redeem the time? Thirdly and finally, why ought we do that? Call your attention to verses 15 through 17 of Ephesians 5 this evening, and let's take this for our theme, redeeming the time. Redeeming what? Redeeming how? And redeeming why? We believers are called by God to redeem the time. What does the Word of God here refer to when it speaks of time? Now here, understand that the word time is not in direct reference to a succession of moments, as in second after second, minute after minute, hour after hour, although it does carry some of that idea. It does not refer to a specific time as children when you ask your mom or dad, what time is it? And then your father or mother answers you, it's 12 noon, it's time to eat. It's 4:30, it's time to get in the van, to get to church, it's Sunday evening. Doesn't refer to a specific time. But the word for time in our text refers to a period of time, a season of time, an age, a time and a season and an age. So, for example, we say right now that it's springtime. It's the season when flowers are blooming and trees are budding all over again and the grass is growing. It's springtime, referring to this month of May especially. And we say with regard to this age we are living in, it's the information age. And it is the information age because we live in an age of powerful computers, taking in lots of information and processing lots and lots of information and giving to us the information that we want and sometimes also do not want. It's the information age. Specifically, the word time here has an eye to a period of time, an age, our lifetime, even our lifetime here on earth, and who knows how long that will be. For some, the age of a lifetime has been just mere moments and hours. For others, yet just a few months and years. And for others, even up to and over 100 years of life. We just don't know how long we will live. But even that understanding of time as a period of time, a season, an age, doesn't quite capture the very heart and essence of the word time. What is time? Time here is a creature that is created by God. Children is just like the sun, moon and the stars. The sun, moon and the stars are creatures. They are creations of God. So also, time is a creature of God. Also, much like the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the animals, the creeping animals of the earth, All these things are creatures, and so also is time. Time is a creature made by God. In the beginning, God's word says, God created the heavens and the earth. And that is when God created this creature called time. It's fitting that this creature called time is mentioned right there implicitly at the start of the creation account. And that is because every creature after it is trapped in it and bound by it. Everything, the sun, the moon, and the stars, not only tell the time, but they are also bound up in time, trapped by this creature called time. That's true also of the animals, from the smallest to the greatest. That's true of mankind. Everything, all creatures, in the air, on the sea, in the land, all creatures are completely trapped in and bound by this creature called time. It's 7 in the morning, it's time to get up. Your mother and or your dad will tell you, children, tomorrow it's time to get up and time to go to school. Or if you're accustomed to taking an afternoon nap at 3 o'clock, your parents will be diligent that you don't sleep too much. And so they wake you up. If you sleep at 3, it's 3:30, it's time to get up. Church is at 5. It's 4:30, it's time to get into the van to come to church. 5 o'clock, it's worship service time. Time, time, time. We are all so wrapped up in time, bound by this creature called time. Time is a creature. And being a creature, time, like all other creatures, suffered the curse of God upon all creation brought about by the fall of man. And so, under the curse, time is now an enemy of man. A great, great enemy of man. Time is that big enemy of man working unceasingly and unrelentingly all the days of man's life. A particular versification of Psalm 90 in our Psalter likens time to an ever-rolling stream. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, carries all its sons away. How true that is. It carries not only the sons of man away, it carries all the works of man's hands away, from the least to the greatest. With regard to the sand castles on the beach made and constructed by children, or else those great tall buildings designed by great architects and manifest in reality in some of our cities that even help to define the skyline of a certain city, with regard to those buildings, with regard also to that great wall of China, that expansive structure that's visible all the way from the moon as you look at the earth, with regard to all these things, time washes away quickly or less quickly all these works. All the works of man's hands, very quickly or less quickly, all eventually perish, are swept away by this creature called time, including man himself. And so all of man's lifetime under the sun, as the wise preacher of Ecclesiastes put it, under the sun or under the curse of God, is said to be vanity. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Well, beloved, we are called by the word of God to redeem the time. And you'll understand that that's only possible because Jesus Christ necessarily and successfully performed the work of redemption first. It was necessary that Jesus Christ himself do that. And it is because Jesus Christ is the redeemer of all that's given to him to redeem. Two things here, ever so briefly. Number one, let's take note that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. He's not a possible Redeemer. He's not a hypothetical Redeemer. He's not a Redeemer if this or that. He's an actual Redeemer. He's, in fact, God's only Redeemer to buy back. To redeem and to buy back all those given unto him. That first. And then number two, just as Jesus Christ is eternal, as God is, he's the eternal Son of God, so also is God's plan and the purposes and goals of his plan. That plan is eternal. That plan is unchangeable. And that plan is above and beyond this creature called time. And rightly so. Because time is a creation not of man, but of God. And time is a servant of God, being used by God to realize and fulfill his plan and his purposes in Jesus Christ. And so, doing the will of God, Jesus Christ came into this earth. He left the glories of heaven. He came down into this earth. He came to us in the most amazing way, the way of the incarnation. And then all life long, the shadow of the cross loomed large. He set his face as flint towards the cross, going straight to the cross, going down and going through all the sufferings that he did for us at the cross of Calvary. And there he suffered and died, and suffered the agonies of hell. And then he was raised, and he ascended into heaven, and now he sits at God's right hand. He has the authority. He is sovereign over all things, including this creature called time. Directing time as quickly as possible, so that in the eternal and wise counsel of God, Jesus Christ comes again and comes quickly. And when that time comes, it will be the end of the ages. It will be the end of time. But until that time comes, Jesus has, by his cross, redeemed his people, redeemed us by his precious blood, giving to us new life through him we receive, saving us from our sins, and therefore giving to us not only this calling to redeem the time, but now also the ability to redeem the time. We are able to redeem the time in Jesus Christ. So the question that comes to us tonight is very plainly this. Are we? Are we redeeming the time? Are we using the time that we've been given by God to do the tasks that he wants us to do and has set out for us to do? Are we doing that? Are we using the gifts and talents? Do we know what gifts we have from the Lord? Do we know the measure of those gifts? And are we using those gifts to serve Him in our homes and families and then in the church of Jesus Christ? And young parents, so many of you here in our midst, we give thanks to God for the gift of covenant children, abundant covenant children in our midst. Young parents, are you redeeming the time as parents with regard to your children? And here let's be reminded how swiftly and how quickly time flies. How swiftly time flies with regard to this matter of our relationship with our children. I say that from a very personal perspective. It wasn't so long ago that I had 3 children with me. Of course, now when I took the call and came here, all that you know of me is that we're empty nesters. That wasn't always the case. Didn't seem like so long ago that I had 3 children with me. Now I'm an empty nester. Now it's true, time may seem very, very long to us when we are in the act of raising our children. It may seem very long to us, but I can assure you that it goes a whole lot more quickly than we care to admit and confess. It's the time, it's May right now, and so this is the time when we typically, when we have children, make plans for summer vacation. One moment in our lives, we are making plans for summer vacation. Where are we going to take the kids to? But then, so very quickly, our lives change. And we don't even have to think about that question anymore. We don't have our children with us. We don't have to think, and we don't think about what our vacation plans are with our children. One moment our children are running all around in the backyard and we're chasing after them one after the other. We feel tired because there's only one of us or 2 of us. Another moment they're riding their bikes around the neighborhood, no longer running in the backyard, but riding their bikes around the neighborhood. Blink your eyes and the next moment they are driving a vehicle. And very soon after, they own their own vehicle and they drive away, leaving us as empty nesters. So what's the point here? The point is this. Are you maximizing the time that you do have with them? To teach them, to build up a relationship with them, to weed and understand what they're thinking so that they confide in you, and then to weed out bad thoughts and bad attitudes that are in them. Also to encourage them in their distresses. To be a force for good for them every step of the way as they are growing and maturing in their thinking month after month, year after year, phase after phase. Your children are going to go through different phases of growing up. Are you maximizing your time? Are you preparing yourselves also for the next step and the next phase as much as you can in the lives of your children? Would to God that we do that. And then our children, God's covenant children under our care, might be well nurtured, might be well cared for, and might grow up as strong covenant youth and young adults for the future of this congregation. And would to God too that we husbands and wives dwell together in love, building one another up spiritually. And then too, there will be far, far fewer marriage issues and marriage troubles, spousal abuse, marital unfaithfulness, sad desertions, things that my colleagues and I have been dealing with, especially much more so in recent years in our denomination. And then far, far more time could be spent on positive activities, positive events, positive stuff that helps the family, the church family, and the denomination to grow. God's message to all of us this evening is very simply, redeem the time. Redeem the time in the home and family. Redeem the time in your church family, in your denomination. Redeem the time at work, at school, and in society at large. Redeem the time. And the Word of God does not leave us guessing as to how we are to redeem the time. It tells us very plainly in the text, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Let's start with those first two words. Walk circumspectly. What does that mean? That word, circumspect, is a curious word, and it's rightly translated in other of the more modern versions of the Bible, whether it's the NKJ or the ESV, is rightly translated as carefully. And yet, beloved, when you translate to that word carefully, you lose something that this rather odd and strange word, circumspectly, has to offer to us with regard to what it's talking about. Circumspectly. Difficult word, seemingly, as always, when you have a difficult word, let's just break it down. Circumspectly. Circum. Think of a circumference of a circle. Circum. We are to look all around, look all around us in our walk of life. And then spectly, spectacles. Spectacles that allow us to look in detail, look carefully, and look and see what exactly is before us. So that as we are called to look, we're called to just not just look around very quickly, but to look around carefully in fine detail. Be very careful as you look around. Look carefully, look at each point that's significant, and see what is before you. Look around and look carefully. That's the word, circumspectly. Don't be careless. Don't take a quick glance. Look all around and look carefully. Don't be careless in your looking, but be careful. Be circumspect before you proceed on in your life. And that's because the word circumspectly or carefully describes our walk. Our walk, of course, refers to our conduct. Our walk refers to our behavior. Our walk refers to the way we live our lives here on earth. the choices that we make, the priorities that we give or do not give, the company we hang out with, the activities we allow ourselves to be engaged in, for ourselves directly and explicitly, but also less directly for those whom God has given to us to care for and to lead in life. For husbands and fathers, that will include your wife and your children. And if God has given you the privilege to serve in the special offices in the church, that would include the congregants whom you are called to oversee, to look over, and to give spiritual guidance unto. Still more, of course, if God were to give you a leadership position at work elsewhere, that would also, the same would also apply there, that you are to walk circumspectly before both, therefore, church and world, especially if you are in a leadership position. And for wives and mothers, walking circumspectly means that you live rightly and carefully before Jehovah in relation to your husband, in relation to your children, and in relation to all who are around you in your sphere of life. And for all of us, whether or not we are married or single, children or grandparents, walking circumspectly means that our conduct and our behavior, the choices that we make, the priority that we give to certain activities and things in our lives, the friends whom we make, the duties and responsibilities given to us are all carefully considered. In light of God's word, and therefore the love of God and the love of the neighbor is in full view when it comes to the choices and the actions we take. And since we are all creatures bound up in time, walking circumspectly is a careful walk, therefore, which has regard not only for the present, but also for the past and for the future. Also, in relation to the past, it means that we are quick to forgive others of their sin. That means that we do not keep mentioning and bringing up those things, those sins again. And if we catch ourselves doing that, could it just be that we are still nursing a grudge within and haven't quite forgiven the brother or the sister? And then in relation to the future, whether it be the short-term future or the long-term future, let's understand that this is a walk that takes into consideration, careful consideration, the plans, the purposes, and the will of God first. God first. That this is also a walk, therefore, that receives and embraces all of the scriptures, all of the word of God, that we are eager to please God in every way, including in the ways in which we are not so good in our lives. We're careful to do these things, and failing to do so, ours would be a careless walk, wouldn't be a walk that's circumspect to everything that's around us, that Jehovah puts before us for our attention. And failing to do so also, we would be as fools and not as wise. But the Word of God is plain. It tells us to live our lives not as fools, but as wise. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is this. Wisdom is the adapting and implementing of knowledge. So wisdom is one step beyond knowledge. Wisdom is the adapting and implementing of knowledge, the knowledge of God's word into practice in life. And in particular here, taking and implementing and adapting this knowledge and this instruction to walk circumspectly into real life. When the Holy Spirit says, not as fools, but as wise, He is amplifying and emphasizing that failure to do so would be foolishness in the evaluation and judgment of God. The perfect evaluation and judgment of God. And I'm sure that none of us, want that to be said of us. And on the other hand, walking circumspectly, continually, faithfully, diligently, by the power of His grace, that, beloved, is the way of wisdom. In other words, taking heed to that knowledge and then adapting and implementing it continually to the changing circumstances of our lives. That is the way of wisdom. Doing so in the way of abiding by all the principles, all the precepts, all the commandments of Scripture. This, beloved, is the way of wisdom that God has for us as His children. And so, beloved, let's do that. Let's redeem the time that's been given unto us. And let's do so in the manner of walking circumspectly by the power of His grace and Holy Spirit. Let's do that. And why should we do that? Why should we redeem the time? The text gives us the urgent reason. Because the days are evil. Certainly, I don't think I have to convince anyone here in this sanctuary that the time that we live in is evil. It certainly was the case at the time of writing in the book, in the time of the Ephesians. Ephesus was a very wicked city, and the entire city was all wrapped up in the religion of Diana worship. Public baths and sexual promiscuity was all around in their society when the Apostle Paul was inspired to write what he did to the Ephesian church. The days were evil then. And for us, the days are evil now. In fact, they're getting more evil. And more evil very, very swiftly. It's only going to get worse in the years ahead. Until Jesus Christ comes again. So, beloved, it's urgent that you and I redeem the time. It's urgent that we raise and nurture our children, preparing them also to face more and more evil ahead of them, that we take the time to be diligent in nurturing them, teaching them, building our relationship with them, guiding them all through their lives. It's urgent that we walk circumspectly, that we redeem the time because the days are evil. May we do so, and may we grow in our calling unto this, and may we grow in our calling by the grace and Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask thy blessing upon this word. We know, Lord, how wicked the days are, and therefore how urgent this calling is for us to redeem the time. Grant us grace to do so more and more. May we learn from thee, and may we be diligent and grow in diligence in this calling with regard to ourselves and our children and all that we are, all whom we are to care for. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.